Today on Talk About That, I learned that I am not in fact a superhero and finally joined the COVID club. Meanwhile, John is disappointed when people on his favorite shows don't actually like each other in real life. Plus, a conversation about humility, confidence, and whether we can really learn from other people's mistakes. Today's episode is not sponsored by IKEA. Our instructions are self-explanatory. Let's go.
What's up out there, podcast world? I'm John.
I'm Johnny.
And we're here for another episode of Talk About That.
You sprung that on me.
Yeah, we haven't done the back and forth in a while, so I thought I'd see if you were still on your toes.
One day I want to be the first one to talk.
That'd be great. I mean, it'd be awful.
Why won't you let me fly?
Johnny, you're the... Listen, I am...
I want to spread my wings, but you won't let me.
I'm the play-by-play guy.
You clipped my wings.
See, the play-by-play guy would never say what you're saying right now. You're the color commentator. Mm-hmm. You add the flair.
Uh-huh.
So...
I think I appreciate it. I think you're wrong, but whatever.
Your flair seems, I have to be honest, the way your voice and you're clearing your throat a little bit.
Yeah, I apologize if my voice is a little bit. I feel like I'm, you know, when you like somebody calls you and you're clearly in bed and they go, are you still in you're bed? Like, and you go,
no, I'm good. I just no, no. Clear my throat. Just get my first cup of coffee. We're down the wrong hole or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm good. I've never done that before. So.
That's what killed my father. He poured coffee down the wrong hole. And
it wasn't his throat.
No.
There was a hole in the ground. And it was a geyser. And he was pouring coffee down.
Somebody discovered him that way. It was really embarrassing. No, he's fine now. I mean, he's in a better place, I guess. Anyway, no. there's coffee everywhere. I have a little morning voice. It's because I've recovered from COVID.
Yeah, bro, you joined the club.
Yeah.
I mean, congratulations.
I thought I was invincible. I made it through 2+ years.
Yeah.
And I was coming and going and living willy-nilly and just like...
The least careful person I know.
Absolutely.
That's
just... People were spitting into my mouth and stuff. Like, stuff like, why would you even... That was a stranger.
Yeah. You're like, you weren't even doing that before COVID.
No. It's just something I thought, you know, I like to live on the edge. But I didn't get it, and so I kind of thought, well, maybe I'm one of those people. Because you read about these people that never got it, and you're like, I read an article and it said, these people will be the ones who unlock future treatments. I was like,
ooh.
Am I an X-Man?
Yeah.
And because what happened, my brother never got it either, and he lived in a house where all of his family members got it.
Yeah.
Both daughters, his wife got it. They all had it, I think more than once, and he'd just be like, I'm good. And he'd call me because we're twins, and he'd go, it's a twin moment. Maybe we're the... I go, we're superheroes.
Yeah.
And so then we
you're
go on
Will
this,
Smith in I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you're the one whose blood can save us all.
Yeah, I'm the cure.
I preached a great sermon on that, by the way. Go ahead.
where did you tie it in? Tell me how. It seems like it writes itself. Anyway, he is legend. So just change it out. Photoshop. Jeffrey, can you Photoshop he over I?
Well, you can put a period after am. I am.
I am.
And then down below, legend.
Or / I am / legend. Okay, so.
Sorry. Your brother.
So my brother shows up. We go on a trip together. We do 5 or 6 trips a year when he goes on tour with me. And we're going to Arkansas for 3 days. And so I was like, yeah, it's a haul. You want to come? Yeah. He shows up to my house, and he's kind of like clearly sick.
Mm.
But then it's one of those things where like the pandemic's kind of like we're on the tail end of the severe part of it.
I heard that Fauci declared that it's not a pandemic anymore.
It's endemic? Is that what it would be called?
I don't know. I only read the title.
That's all you need to form an opinion
where,
now.
That's where I've gotten.
I read Fauci, and I shouted, and then I just, you know, I left the room. I shouted curse words. That's all people. So anyway, he shows up. He's clearly sick, and it's a weird time.
Right.
Because, like, before you'd be like, dude, what are you doing to me?
Right.
Don't show up. Like, what are you doing? But he goes, and we've had this conversation, so I'm not just, like, crapping on my brother. Because, I mean, it can happen to anybody. But he shows up and he goes, I know what it was.
Yeah.
I was cleaning out my dryer vents at my house. And he goes, I'm lucky my house didn't catch on fire.
Wow.
Because there's just so much dust. And he goes, but in that process, I inhaled, like, a human being full of dust. Just.
Yeah, it's a very plausible
right.
scenario.
So he goes, I've been coughing up crud.
Yeah.
ever since that happened, and he goes, his voice was totally different. Like, he was sneezing and coughing, and I go, we're getting ready to get on planes. We're going to share a hotel room. Yeah. Like, this is, and we joked about it. I go, you have COVID. Wow. You're going to give me COVID. He goes, no, man. But it wasn't like, we need to test you right now before we go on this trip together. We're just not at that stage, to me.
Right. Anymore.
Yeah, right. Anymore. I just don't want, like, before I even get around you, if you have a sniffle, like, don't even.
Yeah.
I'm setting my groceries outside for 48 hours and letting them bake in the sun. Like, we're not at that stage anymore. So I was just like, whatever. Plus, we're superheroes. We've never caught it in 2 years.
Right.
This isn't COVID. Well, he gave me COVID.
The irony is, he acted like you two guys were like this twin super.
And actually, he's patient zero.
And he's the one who gave it to you.
He's a ticking time bomb of disease.
Yeah. Wow.
Festering disease. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, B. But it could happen. That's the thing. Like, he was like, he felt so bad. He's
sure.
So sorry.
Nothing
but, so we get back. So Sunday, I have shows Friday, Saturday. Friday, Saturday were fine. I had like allergies the whole weekend, but it's allergies. I'm taking Zyrtec or whatever. Whatever. What's the one that depresses you? Didn't you say Zyrtec causes depression in some people?
Zyrtec does cause me to become depressed.
I've read that though too. Yeah. And so I stopped taking Zyrtec.
Yeah, like I get real low. It's like, God, man, I just don't want to go to work today.
I'm I'm off the Zyrtec. Now I just smoke weed. So, no, I don't smoke. So anyway, I don't know what I take, Claritin or whatever. Whatever's there. It's the Walgreens version of it.
Allegra or Claritin?
It's Wallegra.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the one that's like $10 cheaper. That's whatever. Same active ingredient. Wink.
Clara, $10 off.
Exactly. Sorry. Exactly. It's just sheetrock dust. You're like, this feels like it's not working. But anyway, so I'm taking that, and I'm like, okay, the shows were going fine. And then Sunday, I had a morning service that I had to do. Which is never, like, the best anyway, because you're, like, you're already having the morning voice. You're fighting the morning voice.
Yeah.
You want to get a night's sleep. Plus, we've been sleeping in the whole weekend because the shows are at night. So we're just like, woo-hoo. We're like, we beat the night. We're stupid. No, we don't care. We're old, so we don't go to bed late anyway. But anyway, but still, you sleep in. You get the late checkout. This is a day where it's like, we got to get some sleep. We got to get up. I got an 8 a.m. sound check. I'm going to do services. So at 2 a.m., I woke up. And it was one of those, like, you wake up and go, you're sick.
Yeah.
You knew. And I was like, oh, no. And then I was like, it's like 6 a.m. I got up and I tried to do the hot shower and just like, ugh. And then I was like, and so, but again, I'm like, I know I have a sinus infection or something.
Sure.
But I never thought this is definitely COVID and I should not go do this
thing. Well, then you had a reason to think, one, why your brother was sick.
Right, right, right.
And then two, we've all had sinus infections since COVID.
Since COVID.
On.
And So I'm like, all right, so I go do this thing. And so. And then we went, this is the word, this is me telling on myself. Because, like, once you know that you were sick this whole time, then you start recounting the things you did in your day, and you're like, I exposed the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, because we went to the movies.
Oh, wow.
So we finished the service, and then we have this whole day to kill because my flight's not till that night. And I was feeling bad. Benjamin goes, are you good? And I go, I don't feel good, dude. We're just sitting in the car, and the pastor won't take us out to lunch. So he takes us out to lunch, and I go, I got to. But I'm kind of like, and I'd already, I'd done the service and I preached and I did comedy and I was like, okay. So we go and Benjamin's sitting right next to the pastor. I'm sitting one seat down. His family comes and joins us.
Oh, no.
So now it's like, and the youth pastor, 20-year-old youth pastor's there just like breathing in disease.
The worst.
And so I'm just like, let's expose everybody. But again, I didn't know that I was exposing them. And so... Then we have all this whole day to kill. And Benjamin goes, let's go see Top Gun. I go, dude. He goes, how bad do you feel? I go, if we could. He goes, if I thought that we could do it, I would go get a hotel and I would lay down in a bed until our flight tonight. He goes, really? I go, but it's whatever. We can go sit in a recliner and watch a movie. I don't care. So we did. So I just load up with sugar, jujubes, and I go sit in a theater with 100 people. And watch Top Gun.
You're a horrible person.
And then I got home. Curry goes, she texted me. I go, I feel so bad. She goes, we need to take a COVID test just to rule it out. I go, okay, sure. So we get home. And then I go to bed. We got home. I go, because she picked us up at like 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. that night. So then we got straight home. And then we go to bed. Benjamin stays at my house. The guest room. Then he gets up. He leaves at some point that morning. And then we get up, and I'm feeling bad, real bad. And she goes, let's take a COVID test. And then I'm doing the swab, and I pull the swab out, and it's got, like, blood on it.
I was going to say, like...
There's blood in my...
Like somehow the swab turned a color on its own. Like, what?
It has the two lines across the swab without even any... I'm like, oh, this isn't supposed to
already... An alarm goes off.
It says the word COVID in the air when I cough, like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. No, so there was already, like, traces of blood. You know, and she goes, I already know. She goes, this is... She was already, like, standing back from me.
Oh, yeah.
She was already like, you are unclean.
Hey, yeah.
Anyway, I know it's just, everybody's got their COVID story. I'm not trying to, like, belabor it. But it was just one of those things where I'm playing in my mind, like, we were around so many people. And I had to text them all. So all these pastors, like every person that we worked with, they took us out because they wanted to, like, oh, let's go out. You got to... Let's go see the new diner that's at the... And so we... So I had to text all of them and go... I have given you diseases.
Yeah.
And then they were, of course, none of them got sick. And then my wife didn't even get it. Curry never got it. She isolated from me from that moment on, though. So we spent like 7 or 8 days apart.
Like more than the normal isolation.
Right. Yes.
Right. So
she was like, finally a reason. And so she went to Cancun, which I thought that's not necessary.
That's a lot.
That's interesting. And she'd already booked the trip before we even knew the... So I was like, well, this feels...
I don't... Yeah.
No, but it was one of those things where I was so relieved when she didn't get... And again, she could come up positive now that I've said this, but hopefully we've waited the normal amount of time.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. But I'm just trying to make all that explanation to say, like, if I have a sudden, like, coughing fit, I apologize, but we didn't... We took last week off because we were like, I didn't feel like doing an episode.
John's like, I could do it remote if you want.
Yeah.
I was like, you know...
Yeah.
Bro.
You're afraid you're going to catch COVID on the remote.
Like, bro, why don't you just, you know.
I think I could catch this over Zoom. It's so ugly. It was weird. Like, my symptom, like, and everybody's got their weird COVID, like, symptoms. It's different for different people.
Yeah.
But I knew that it was something different than I'd ever had before. By Monday, when I got back and we tested, I said, even Sunday night, I said, my symptoms are so weird that I know this is something I've never had before.
Right.
Like, my hair on my arms hurt.
Wow.
Like, I felt, like, you ever feel that, like, where your hair, you can feel the hairs on your, well, never mind, the hairs on your head. John, you remember back in the day?
Cut me deep.
No, it's like, I knew that I had a fever on Monday night. Like, Monday night, I got a fever, and then it broke by Tuesday morning, but yeah. I was getting, like, vertigo.
Yeah.
Where you feel like your body, you feel yourself leaving your body, and you're, like, hovering, and you're like, is the room spinning? But it's not totally not spinning, because that's not possible. I don't know where you live, like in a Jamiroquai video. What are you in? But anyway, I knew that, like, this is something I've not had before. And sure enough, it's been a weird, like, bevy of symptoms, and I'm not happy about it. But so people that are like, just get it and get it over with. You don't want this. This isn't.
No, man, let me tell you something. You don't want it.
I was never, like, in danger. I never felt like, oh, this is going to get.
Yeah.
Like, the first day was the second day. First and second day were the worst, and then I slowly have gotten better. But it's interesting how it's kind of lingering in my chest. So.
Well, I was telling you, when I had it, my energy was great. Like, I did my taxes during COVID. I just had all this respiratory stuff. Had a fever a day. Lost my sense of smell. I had a fever a day. It keeps the doctor away. Right. And I had, because he doesn't want to catch COVID.
No, he doesn't.
And then I had a loss of smell for like one night. But otherwise, it was fine. But then, like, 2-3 weeks later, I was exhausted. But I had none of the other symptoms. Huh. But I got real
maybe fatigued. That's what's going to... That kind of feels like it's going to be with me. Is this where it's just going to, like, link? I hope it's not going to be, like, what you'd call long COVID. Because you hear these horror stories of people that have... They stand up to, you know, leave the room and their heart rate goes to 180 or something. Right. You're like, oh, my gosh. So I've not had that, thank goodness. But, yeah, it's been weird. And I did have the fever. And I have... my sense of smell just started coming back 2 days ago.
Nice.
I walked into my house and I go, it smells like we can't, there's like a garbage smell.
Yeah.
You ever have that? You're like, something, and then you check, and I'm like, oh, my smells, this house has always smelled this way? Like, that's not good. You know what I'm saying? You leave your house, you come back, you're like, does this house always smell this way?
I had a smell in my car this morning, and I can't determine, Phil, it smells fruity. So I don't know if Sadie's dropped something under the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know
See?
What I'm saying?
This is why I hate when groceries roll around.
I'm just like,
this is my nightmare.
I don't know what it is.
This
is my nightmare.
Yeah.
Johnny, you need to have better nightmares.
I have so many nightmares.
Hey, speaking of, have you watched Stranger Things?
Not the new season.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have a strong opinion about it?
As a
parent, and I heard parents are a little bit like, before it was just cute violence, and now it's so satanic. Like, people are really
very,
up in
it's very like, again, the old 80s feel of the previous seasons. I mean, there's yeah. some gore and all,
yeah,
but it's very like thriller, a lot of almost like
suspense,
M. Night Shyamalan type.
Shyamalan. Welcome to my light Shyamalan. And it's like a bunch of rides.
Shyamalan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, you know, waiting and anticipating. That's the fear.
But season one. She's got a friggin' Ouija board on her wall and it's spelling out things Christmas lights. That's season one. That's like episode one.
Then eventually you go into the Upside Down and eventually you see the big monster.
And what's the Upside Down, John? Anything spiritual going on there? What's a Demogorgon?
So,
John, it's always been satanic.
I'm just saying, this one's like...
You're like, man, Disney property before. I'm now, all of a sudden, it feels like it's almost demonic.
I'm not speaking really to the demonic side as much as to the gory side.
Okay.
Like, this one out of the gate, episode
one... Do you think it's like, could give... Somebody, Sadie's age, nightmares.
Yeah, yeah. Sadie
hasn't watched it. Does she like season one, two,
we
three?
Didn't. She hasn't watched any of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, and now you're like, I don't think I'm going
to. This one, it's just like, and again, not to give anything away.
She's an adult, can make her own decisions.
But like when the monster starts attacking people, like it's super graphic.
Okay.
And it was always, I guess you're right, there was always some graphic to it. I don't know, Johnny. I'm just curious what you thought, but obviously, if you want to take this moment to judge me.
Here's the deal. We had our quarantine times. So normally we'd be like, well, don't watch the episode without me. You can't finish watching Better Call Saul without me. We watched that together. But then when we got into like quarantine and she's upstairs and I'm downstairs, she was just like, look,
watch whatever
you got to do to get through this. And so I binged everything. But we saved Stranger Things.
Wow, that's the one.
She was like, I'm waiting. Well, let's watch that together.
Yeah.
So we haven't started yet, but we're going to. And now that I know that it's super satanic.
Here's the thing, though.
Yeah. I think it was more like it references the satanic panic. Doesn't it kind of like, isn't it like an inside baseball of that mindset of the 80s of like everything's the devil?
No, there really is a.
Yeah, there really is. It really is the devil.
Yeah.
No, they were right.
Again, it's fiction. I think, again, it just was a little more like, little less fun. There's not been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah,
it's like all really dark. Like only bad things are happening to all the characters.
Have you finished it?
No. But
it'll get.
I don't. Here's the thing.
It's true because you're right.
I have a friend who worked on the film.
Oh, that's right.
Worked on the season. So I'm going to finish it in honor.
Oh, that's so nice.
Of that friend.
The end of season three, you're right. It ended on like. All this dark stuff's happening, but doesn't he like sing the theme to Never Ending Story over the phone to her? And that's the whole thing. You haven't seen?
Did he? Yes, did he?
Yeah, he sings the big.
Yeah, there's all these light moments.
Yeah, it's kind of silly in places.
Yes,
where this feels like they're kind of growing up, and so everything stays.
And maybe that's part of it.
And maybe they have different directors, because that's what happened with the Star Wars movies.
I think it's still the same brothers.
You get Abrams Vision, and you get what's his name?
Ryan.
The other guy, yeah, Ryan. People are going to be so mad at us.
Oh my gosh, Ryan!
You want to say Ryan?
I mean, it was with an I.
Johnson.
Ryan Johnson.
I think it's Ryan Johnson.
I think you're just making up names.
No, I think you're right. He did the last.
He did the middle one.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. Anyway, that's the one people were like, oh, now he's not giving Abrams anything to work with because he took these huge, broad strokes, and now Abrams is going to come in. Sure enough, I thought the last one was just like a cavalcade of like, let's go fix this, and I don't know.
Are you speaking as if he had, was he successful?
First of all, I don't care. I'm not one of those people that's like, Star Wars, you made another Star Wars and ruined my childhood because of the decisions you made. It doesn't matter to me enough to be like, they did what with Obi-Wan Kenobi?
See,
like,
I don't care. Know how I feel
I don't care.
About your
It's not a religion to me.
I think it's not a religion to me either, but to say you just don't care, really.
It's not a religion. I just believe that there are sacraments and there's an order to things. And
force
we have to,
is dictating what we're doing right now. What?
Perhaps.
We don't believe any of that, guys. We're just teasing.
So I don't know. But you're right. So you're saying it's the same director, so maybe he's just decided like to go really dark.
Well, it's the brothers. Gosh, now they're killing us because I can't remember the brothers' names who do the Stranger Things.
I don't either.
Stranger Brothers. Sorry, guys. We could. Don't go into the hole if we had a third person in the room. This is the charm of the show.
The third person in the room has their own podcast, and it's very popular.
Right. They're like,
they do research.
They don't have time for this.
They don't know. It's fine.
So speaking of, wasting time.
Yeah.
I decided, oddly enough, the irony of this is this came to me across my Instagram feed while I was wasting time.
Like an ad?
Yes. And I downloaded it, had a free trial.
You bought an NFT.
Bitcoin. And I am now, have you ever used the Elevate app?
No.
So it's like instead of doom scrolling,
yeah,
it's like workouts for your mind.
Oh, okay.
And you answer all these questions. You do like this, like...
This feels like Scientology.
Donnie, I can levitate.
Elevate your consciousness. Take this personality quiz.
No, it's like if you want to, like, it tells you, what are you looking for? You want to be better at brevity in writing, or you want your vocabulary to expand?
And then they
expand.
Go, tell me about something traumatic from your childhood. Hold these two
jars. Now, I'm going to press on this one. And it's really, really cool. It gives you a score, and then it keeps increasing in difficulty. So, like, there's math. Uh-huh. There's a lot of, like, writing things. You could pick which ones you want to try.
When you said math, it increased in difficulty right away.
You were like...
Immediately, I was like, I don't feel so elevated.
Like 50, 40, and 20, find the average. So you have, like, it's counting down.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to... So then you push it and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you should try it. Elevate. Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor at all.
Really interesting, like, alternative. I think.
How do you think you stumbled on? How do you think they found you to send you that? What do you think that you've been posting that made them go, this guy is a? You buy it. You buy the app. By the way,
eventually you have a purchase point.
You run out of free.
Yeah, but I feel
Elevate Lite.
I feel like it's helping.
Yeah.
Like, and then they'll tell you, like, hey. It appears you're struggling. One of the things that I scored lower on, which is just crazy because this is what I do the most. But on the app, in the game, I can't do it as well. So it's like, hey, it seems you're struggling to find synonyms and adjectives. So they'll give you a word.
Oh.
And now you
maybe come, it's the pressure.
I think it is at the time.
When you sit
it,
down to write, you're like, oh, and it just flows. But when you're like, there's a clock going, you're like, I don't know what another word for...
Well,
that
like they'll say lazy.
Okay.
Okay, so, and I'll say, what would you say if I said lazy?
Shiftless.
Yeah. So they'll say, you know, lackadaisical. Like, you're trying to get the biggest, you're trying to get the most complex, and then they'll score the word that you picked.
Right.
But then I'll go, this is really what I do a lot of. Yeah. Of course, I also have a right-click synonym button.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, is you just have, like, a website you can go to. It's like the rhyme dictionary that, like, songwriters use. Rhyme Zone or whatever.
Yeah. But then you can come back...
Uh-huh.
It'll send you a report like, hey, let's look at all the stuff you missed this week.
Oh,
and you can see it as a list.
Yeah.
And you're
kind
of,
you've learned,
you're
and
putting
now you plug
new
in
words,
those holes.
Right. You're putting new words into your mind.
So you think
like
you're
languid you was another word for lazy, and I never would use languid.
Languid. So you think you're better than me now? Is that what you're...
Johnny, since I've started Elevate, not only am I better than
you... Do you think you've outgrown me as a person?
But I now consider you lackadaisical. And
is it lackadaisical?
Wait, I know. Lax and lackadaisical and languid.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm better.
No.
I don't think I'm better in any sense of the word, actually.
No, stop
no,
it. John,
Johnny,
now you're, that's
you're
false,
the smart guy.
False humility if I've ever heard it. It's
no,
fine.
I don't have any false humility left. It's all real now. I used to be false, but now at this age, it's real. And it's not what I thought. I don't know if we talked about that before or not, but like I was telling my therapist that the other day, like, I always wanted humility. I used to ask, but I kind of was hoping God would impart that to me, you know, through life and through me listening and the circumstances of life.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm truly in humility, and it's like super close sometimes to humiliation. Like, that's how it feels. Like, it's not comfortable.
Well, that's the root of that word.
Correct.
So maybe that makes sense.
But it's not like, I trust God. It's not, but I'm also like, wow, I don't have any confidence
people
of what
like,
I could do. And,
people say they want to be humble, but nobody wants to be humiliated. But those are very like close things.
Well, you have to,
humiliated seems like it should be, humiliated seems like public.
Well,
like,
humiliated
we want to find humility in like a private space. Like, I'm glad I got perspective on that and no one had to see me at my lowest point. Humiliation is like everyone just saw your
shame.
Worst moment on the internet or whatever.
Yeah, and I don't want my humility to be shame. So that's where I have to be healthy. But I think there is a, like, when you lead even, there's that sense of, I am failing in front of people.
Yeah.
And will I keep going? And that's hard. Because sixes in particular, we don't commit to things that we know we can't finish well or succeed at. That's one of the things. It may be hard for us to do that.
Yeah, so, I have that.
So if you have to, if you start in something and you can't see the ending, and then when you're in it, it'd be easier just to quit.
Yeah.
And then you go, because again, it's the eyes that are watching going, man, why can't you do that? No, they might not be saying that. And eyes don't speak. It's really the mouth of the people who have the eyes who are saying it. Wow, come on now. But I just, that humility, I think I always hoped, like, I always wanted to be the guy that could listen and not have to learn everything the hard way.
Well, I mean, you probably learned some things.
I don't know.
The easy way.
I feel like compared to what I've learned through the experiences, like it feels...
You don't think you've learned from other people's mistakes and you go, well, I'm not going to do that because that guy did it and he was somebody in my life and I...
I think I can learn what not to do.
Yeah.
But I don't think I can learn how to be.
Okay.
And I don't mean that to sound preachy or...
No, that feels very... That feels almost like Plato.
Yeah. It's like I can't change...
Is it Aristotle or Plato that said, you know, we are what we continually do or... You're a human being, not a human doing. I don't know. It was one of those things of like, is an extrapolation of Aristotle's teachings of like, you're a being.
Yeah.
So we think of ourselves as like, especially in the American culture, like we got to keep doing things.
Yeah.
But like, how do you become something?
Yeah. Who are you becoming? What's the formation of your life?
Yeah.
And I don't know that you can be formed outside of experiences, in addition to knowledge. Now, I do believe, and I heard, I think it was Rich Velotis maybe was talking about when he first started in ministry at his church years ago, someone gave him the advice of, part of the advice was, always be paying deep attention to your internal world.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting way to phrase that, because internal world is something we were writing about in this new Jeff and Beth McCord book that comes out this year. Is going to be amazing. It's called More Than Your Number. But it's integrating also some concepts that you might have heard in things like internal family systems or IFS, which is meaning like there's something going on inside of me that has complexity and dynamics.
Yeah.
It's dealing with my history. It's dealing with my perception. And it's, you know, it's just more when you do – it's easiest to sum things up. Well, I'm a good leader. Okay. Like, that's way too simple.
Right.
When someone says someone's a good leader, you're like, well, how do you measure that? Are you measuring how successful the organization's been under their leadership? Because that's one.
How many followers they have.
Sure. And these could be great things. I'm not saying they're good or bad. I'm saying what is...
Right. What's your metric? And the metric could change depending on whether it's a religious organization, whether it's a company. Of course, some people run their religious organizations like it's a company, and some people have issues with that.
Well, it's a common expression in church world. Right. You know that. Run your church like a business.
Yeah.
I've told our elders before, like, the worst thing we can ever do is run our church like a business. Yeah. Like, we should be good stewards of it and have good business sense about
things. There's things that are similar, and there's things that are so different about even what the Bible says about a church that it's just clearly like, oh, we can't. This is not a parallel. It's just like the country. People say, there's always some outsider that wants to be president, and he'll say things like that. Ross Perot, we need to be running the country like it's a business. I'm a billionaire.
Right.
So if I was at the wheel, I would know how to run the country like a business. Well, but the country's not a business.
Right.
It does a lot of things that businesses don't do.
Right.
And some of those things are not corollaries at all.
No.
So when you get
in, one can poison the other if you're not careful.
Right. If you just run it like, you know. So that's the thing. So, and by that same token, like you said, so what does leadership mean? And it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So, when you try to say, like, I am a great leader, like, that could mean a million different things.
Yeah, and if you really overlay a kingdom perspective, and I, for some reason, I'm really drawn to Rich Mullins a lot right now. And I had you read the lyrics of that song the other day.
Right.
That they released posthumously.
Yeah.
I just like the demo version, Hard to Get. And he's being so brutally honest with God. Basically, the whole main hook of the song is, you know, will you ever show up in some of these areas? Because we're down here, I trust you, and I'm down here struggling, and while you're up there just playing Hard to Get.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this really honest, sounds very much like a psalm of David. But in that, you look at a guy like him, and one of my favorite stories of him that you told me, actually, when I was younger, and I think about this story all the time. So Rich Mullins wrote, I mean, some really famous songs in the 80s and 90s, things like Awesome God, Sing Your Praise to the Lord, Sometimes by Step, which I don't know why it's called Sometimes by Step.
I don't either.
But it is.
It is called that.
I was listening the other day to those, just the lyrics of and there's so many other songs too, you know, Hold Me Jesus.
Right. I mean, which we used to cover in shows.
Oh, love that song. And, but he basically took a vow of poverty at one point, lived on Indian reservations, really sort of grappled and wrestled with the implications of fame and fortune in a kingdom perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't get it right all the time, but really had like this, if there was ever a person I've ever read about who had this sense that they don't belong in this world.
Right.
It's Rich. And he wrote about that a lot. Like, I don't, like, I, sometimes the night was, sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit from me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less than he. Mm-hmm. That's one of his, you know, because God said, Abraham, look at the stars.
All right.
You know, that's going to be your descendants. And so that whole, how one star he saw had been lit from me. Like, oh my gosh. I mean, these are just, you know, he's, but that theme came up a lot with him. I'm not supposed to be comfortable here.
Yeah.
That story though, is that it was some big festival or something. And there was the craft services having the dinner for the artists before the show. And so there's security, and he's walking up to the stage to go eat before he performs later that night. And the security guard, because he just looks like a kind of haggard,
right,
you know, artist. And he just thought he was like some homeless dude. He really did. He was walking up. He's like, dude, you can't be here.
Yeah.
And Rich Mullins was like, oh, okay. And he, see, again, that goes back to what had been formed in him.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking, but in that story in my mind, I'm going, you can't just react like that without something being real. And he wasn't mad.
Yeah.
He was just like, okay. And what he did not do was demand his own rights that really were his. It was later the night, that night, the guy saw him on stage, was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? That was Rich Mullins.
Yeah.
But I just go, I don't think I have that in me.
No, you don't.
No, I'd be like,
especially not around craft services. I've seen you. There's a table full of food.
I am starving.
You will not be turned away.
No, I mean, it just be like this. I'm more likely, I don't know, to want to advance. So what makes someone a good leader or a good artist or a good person? And you go, I don't know.
I think there is something in me of like that. There's a parable about don't, maybe it's not even a parable, but it's Jesus is using this corollary of the table. And he's like, don't sit at the head of the table.
Yeah.
Because then the person who is the head of the table could show up.
Yeah.
And then you'll be embarrassed. You'll be humiliated that you sat in that seat and assumed that you were the big wig, basically.
Yeah.
So I think that has been burned into me, maybe to a fault, because we come from the same tradition where it's just like, just keep your head down. Don't, whatever you do, don't, you know, don't toot your own horn. Don't whatever. Even like pride in your accomplishments at all.
Yeah.
It's just so anathema to what we were raised in believe. So we just like, don't ever, if somebody says, hey, I really thought you were really good, you'd be like, well, all glory to, you know, like we're so deflective to a fault. But I do think that that probably is a good thing that has been put into me of like, don't get too big for your britches is how you would say it in the South.
Yeah.
Don't sit the wrong seat. You know, if you come into a room, don't just assume like, well, clearly all these people are here for me. Yeah. I need to be the, I'm more likely to be like, let's feel this out. I'd rather have somebody tell me that, hey, this is your seat over here.
But see, in your 40s, and maybe it's not anything to do with age, maybe it has to do with where we are in life. I also will be on calls or in meetings where I need to be confident
right.
in what I've been brought there to do.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. It's really,
if somebody does have expectations and you're like, oh, they need me to be a grown up here?
Yeah, exactly. That's the right thing. It's like suddenly I have to be an adult. Uh-huh.
That's hard. And I think that's, you have to learn to do that. When I started doing what I do for a living, it's like, I talk to young comics about it, like, because some people I feel like have confidence, and I'm confounded by that. Confidence, yeah. Confidence before they should have it. Uh-huh. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not talking about like, oh, I've flown planes 600 times, so I know how to fly one without crashing it. I should be your pilot. That's not what I mean. That's what I have now. I've flown the plane 600 times. I know where the beats are. I've got a grenade in my pocket that says I can throw this at any time I want, and everyone in here will laugh because I've done it 600 times.
Yeah.
And 585 times.
Don't throw a grenade on a plane.
I won't throw a grenade on a plane.
Yeah, that's...
These are weird mixed metaphors. But you know what I'm saying? It's like...
I was thinking the pilot had a grenade.
Yeah, the pilot has a grenade in my metaphor, guys. It's a very violent...
Sorry.
Very violent nightmares I have. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, but when I started out, you're supposed to be confident then. And so what I would kind of do is I would wear confidence like I was putting on a coat.
Yeah.
I would pretend... I would do an impression of a confident person.
Yeah.
And I would be like... Because I realized early on, if I don't have some sense of confidence... None of this lands because comedy is confidence.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of what you're getting. And so I would wear it like a coat, like time to get confident. And I would wear it out there. And then when it was over, I'd take the coat off and I'd be my normal self again. And over time, now I'm not necessarily confident in myself. I'm confident in my lines because they've landed. Or I know like, well, this may be a brand new line that I've never said before, but it sure is an awful lot like this one. That did work.
Yeah.
It's in the same vein.
Yeah.
And so I know the formula. So this one has a 65% chance of working. So I'm going to use that confidence. I'm going to deliver it with 100% confidence. But it may only work 65%. But I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
That's different than when you walk out the first time and somebody's just confident. Just because, well, look, everything's worked out for me so far. Like I have a friend, Marty, who's a comedian. We've talked about many times. We've even had him on the show. He was an athlete, a college athlete. And he had set records in school. He was popular, you know, and so when he started doing comedy, he was just like, he had a different attitude. He approached it differently than me. Yeah. And I was fascinated by it. I'd be like, you just assume this is all going to work out. He goes, yeah. And I go, no. And I would almost try to talk him out of it. And then I was like, no, this is just how he approaches it. And it's okay.
See, I think I had that when we first met.
Yeah.
Because everything always worked out. School.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when we got into the band, I
jaded you.
Well, it's not that you jaded me. It's that we did something really hard that I assumed we would do. And we got better at it.
Yeah.
And it still didn't work out. Like, there was no... Well, I mean, who knows if it worked out or not. I think it was great, and we're still friends today. And all that. But so that's the whole definition. How do you know?
Maybe the victory was the friends we... Met along the way, John.
Come on now.
Maybe that was the record deal.
I know that it's again, sounds cliche, but I kind of think that is the thing.
Sure.
And I think it's a joke. I'm not getting on you for saying that. I agree with you.
No.
Like we make light of the most important things in life.
Right.
I said the other day.
Well, yeah, because if we'd been handed some whatever thing, we would have been ready for it.
Yeah.
And then whatever happened, eventually it's going to go away. Like you can't, right. Unless you're going to be whatever, superstars that just have 50-year careers, which is so rare. So you're going to have this thing, or you're gonna, we had that, remember that we had that thing, and people loved it. And then like some of those people, they're not even friends anymore.
Right.
Like I've read this, that AC/DC, they show up in separate jets.
Wow.
And then they do a show, and then they flip each other off and leave the stage and get on their separate jets and go. They're contractually like, well, we got to do this to make money, but they all hate each other.
Wow. You see, I'm just not...
That would be us, dude. Maybe that is us. What if people don't know? And we're like, one more podcast episode.
See, that's what's crazy. I will hear this about television shows, and it will drive me crazy. Like, I heard, and I cannot remember I won't remember the actors' names. Sorry. Yeah. But the guy who played Castle... You know his name, Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
And remember the female cop in Castle? And
no.
My wife screaming right now.
I don't know this show.
I think she had like an Eastern European name, perhaps. And and they had this like amazing chemistry.
Uh-huh.
Like tension. Like it's 7-8 seasons. One of the best shows. So funny. Well written.
Right.
He's a murder mystery novelist, like a best-selling author.
Uh-huh.
And then he's in New York, and he starts riding along, basically. It's that kind of thing, but it's super funny. He shows up at all the things, and they end up, over the course of the show, falling in love over those intentions and all this stuff.
And it kills the show, inevitably.
No. They really did it well. Some shows can pull it off, like The Office did. The Office pulled off Pam and Jim, you know.
Yeah.
And the deal was the rumor was that they couldn't stand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered me.
Right.
Because I enjoyed the show so much.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what that is about me that wants, because he seems like such a nice guy. And she seems like such a, you know, I don't know anything about these people.
Right.
Except that they're charming and funny on screen.
I think we're seeing that now with the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing.
Yeah.
Like Johnny Depp has been in so many movies that were like touchstones for people's childhood that we need him to be the wronged party when it's pretty clear that they abused each other. Like whatever you, I mean, I've seen some of the trial, like she lied, he lied. There was a lot of drugs going around. Like, there's so much, like...
So many variables.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a really broken relationship. But this idea that, like, he's 100% right and she's 100% wrong. Yeah. She's this devious person that made this all up and ruined his... Like, no, like, here in the court, like, he admitted to a bunch of this stuff. And it's like, but Johnny Depp was Johnny Depp. Like, we can't...
Right.
Come on, man. That's 21 Jump Street. You don't mess with him. I mean, it's Pirates of the... It's Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
He can't be guilty of this horrible thing. So, like, we protect, we shield ourselves from ever thinking. But I'm with you on that. Like, when I heard that the Monty Python guys, like, not only do they not like each other, but they hated some of their best work.
Wow.
Like John Cleese does not like the Holy Grail.
Wow.
Like, he felt like it was just thrown together, and it doesn't... I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, when they don't even like their own, or, like, when bands don't like their hit songs and won't play them anymore, and you're like, you son of a gun.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, it's very, I don't know.
That would be us, John. We'd be so jaded.
I don't know.
We were protected.
thank you for making me not successful. No, I mean, and that's the funny thing. Success is one of those weird things. I wish, maybe it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be free from its implication. I've always wanted that. I wanted to be free from the worry about success. But it really sucks to go through the process of that actually happening. And again, it sounds so weird because if you're listening, you're like, oh my gosh, John, what's happening?
Yeah.
I'm telling you how it feels, whether it's book sales or church growth or all those kinds of things in life, when they're not always great and you're working really hard.
You almost have to set yourself free from other people's opinion of you. Because even if you decide, no, that doesn't matter to me. I wrote this because I believed in it, and it did what it did, and that's fine. You also have to be, like, aware that there are people who that's not going to be enough for them. They're going to be, like, even as a comedian, they go, oh, so you're a working comedian? Yeah, I've been full-time comic since 2012. They go, have I ever seen you on anything? And I go, well, I've been in a couple of, like, regional things, and I've done some TV stuff, but not, like... You ever been on, like, Tonight Show? No. And, like, that's their...
Right.
That's someone who, like, I'm never... If I let myself get drawn into that...
Yeah.
That's, like, a never-ending spiral because, like, they don't even know enough to know... Like, if I go, well, that... I have to win that person over by how...
Yeah.
I promise I'm successful because I've done this. Like, it's never... So you have to let yourself be free of that.
Yeah, and I think going through recovery really helped, like, the people-pleasing side of it. It's really less about that for me now and more about, like, the realities of the world that we live in.
Yeah.
That there are, okay, like, I can be okay with myself regardless. I can be proud of a project if I did a job well done or served someone well. But I still, it doesn't matter how I feel about that, and I don't care how other people feel about it. I still have to interact with those people in all of these arenas. I'm being very vague, but it would be the equivalent of, hey, you know, you could be a great vacuum salesman.
Okay? And I am.
Boy, do you suck. And you could be a great vacuum salesman who really does a great job. You go door to door and you really serve people well,
mm-hmm.
but you don't sell a lot of vacuums. But the ones you sell, like, the customers feel that you're really connected with them. And at night you feel great about yourself. But it may still drive your company out of business, even though you did it right. You mm-hmm. didn't cut any corners. You made sure your product was just what it should be. But you're still competing whether you want to or not. You can say, I don't care.
Right.
And you could actually not care. You could still go under.
Right.
Like, that's the hard part. Like,
yeah.
I believe this other reality is more real. I really, really do. I believe my kingdom reality is more real.
Yeah.
I still live in this world as well. For this time.
Where it's just cutthroat and it's very metrics. There's metrics for everything.
Yeah, and even as a pastor, I will not be elevated for my integrity
mm-hmm.
or like I will about the people who love me.
Yeah.
And know
me. We won't even tear down pastors for their integrity. That's what's funny.
Yeah.
Like integrity really, not only is it not a metric to advance a pastor, unless the whole thing catches on fire.
Right.
And it's so obvious to the rest of the world. Integrity is not even like a metric by which we will bring down a pastor until it's like way too late.
Right. Right.
You know.
The assumption is if you're successful, you must have.
Right.
There must be a good
reason. We want to believe it. Just like Johnny. We want to believe Johnny Depp.
We want to believe it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I have the integrity, by the way.
I'm not. Listen.
As a pastor. I'm just.
Why do you hate Johnny Depp so much?
And, well, I mean, I used to go to his church when he pastored.
He does look kind of like a mega church pastor. He's got the kind of vibe.
That would be great. Yeah. Can you think of the name of his church? That's the thing.
Hold on. I'm going to get it. I always used to think that. One time I said that. I said, Topher Grace. Sounds like a California megachurch. You know, the actor Topher Grace. Yeah. And then somebody responded underneath it and said, Orlando Bloom is a Florida megachurch. So that's where Johnny Depp would pastor. He would pastor at Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom Fellowship.
Yeah. It's got to come on down. Yeah. Five services.
Yeah. You know. Meeting in the local arena.
Yeah, exactly. For sure.
Yeah. Hey, listener, we hope that you have enjoyed meeting with us in the small arena of this podcast. It's just been so
Don't diminish our arena. What are you doing?
I just meant like this is a conversation, bro.
Oh, you mean just like,
yeah. So I didn't mean like the size of the podcast. No, though, we have millions of listeners.
Right. In an arena somewhere, evidently.
But we appreciate you listening as you do every week. And we do apologize that Johnny let you down. Last week
it won't happen. We did have people reach out and say like, where's my episode, and upset their whole pattern.
We were like, where's your Patreon donation?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I didn't notice that coming
and they
through.
Didn't answer, did they?
No, they canceled it.
That's because we didn't say that.
No, we didn't. We would never. You never. Guys, but if you would like to, that'd be fine. Yeah. And we listen, if you want to support the show, you can do that on Patreon. Go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com. All of our socials are linked there, all the archived episodes. So much to do. Many of you are taking long road trips with your family. And God bless you. Do it to it. But you need something to listen to that's not going to offend the little ones' ears. We'd like to think we're pretty safe for the family. I hate the word safe. It almost feels like it's like when somebody says that my comedy is so clean. Mm. It feels like they're – it's not an insult, but I don't think it comes off the way they think.
Like,
they
mean. I didn't have to think about anything at all.
Or like they just are saying like it's careful. Like I hate the idea of comedy being careful because careful comedy is not funny to me. No, like, it shouldn't just be like scattershot, whatever I want to say, but it shouldn't just be like, oh, whatever. My number one goal is to not offend people.
Yeah.
Like, no, my number one goal is to be funny. And hopefully, as a result of that, I'm going to offend a lot less people. Some people just, they're dying to be offended. Anyway, all that said, we like to think of our podcast as something that you can listen to with your family. Sometimes we tackle issues of the day, but we do it in a way that we like to think is uplifting. Yeah. Even edifying, if we want to use a decent Christianese word.
That's good.
Does anyone say edifying other than
evangelical Christians? I could put that on my Elevate app if it ever asks me to.
Now we've set it into the ether again, so you're going to be really their target demographic now.
Well, they already got me.
Somehow a pest control company got me.
From the podcast?
No, I don't know how. I have bugs that are getting into my home. We've never had like pest control contract. Like, we just don't need it. We haven't needed it.
It was time.
It's time because now these little black beetles, I found out they're called ground beetles.
Yeah.
And they're getting into my home. And when I open the door to and they're just outside on the patio and they're just scurrying about. And I'm like, this is no good. And so they're getting in the house. So I was like, oh, we need a call. We've put a couple of hay on our HOA. Does anyone have a? And now I get this thing and it's like, pesty. I got this pesty. Wow. And it's at home, like they send you the containers of poison.
I don't want to do it myself.
I'm doing it.
Are
it's
you?
Cheaper, you know. I have access to the poison now.
You need to put on a mask.
No, man.
That might have helped you avoid this COVID situation. I wouldn't.
Sorry
about that, guys.
Anyway, Pesty not a sponsor, but
so we haven't made a mask reference in a long time. Like, we just triggered like half the listeners.
We did. It's
like,
okay.
La,
the ones who love Johnny Depp are going to be triggered as well. I apologize. I don't have all the information. I just believe that. Look, when you look at it, it takes two to tango, and it feels like a lot's going on there. And this idea that like one is completely innocent and one is completely guilty, like you've never been married before, then
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, like in my marriage, of course, my wife's always guilty.
I was going to say I was always guilty in my marriage, but
I'm getting ready to lose 10 arguments in a row just for me saying that. It'll be, it's okay. That's the punishment.
Oh my goodness. But you know what? If you listen to more of the podcast, we can equip you to win more arguments in your future. And how can I even begin?
How do we do that?
We want to give you more knowledge, Johnny. We're like the Elevate app of podcasts.
We elevate your consciousness.
Yeah. Like, we're giving you more stuff.
Don't you hate when people say conscious, but they mean conscience?
Oh, it's a tough one. I have a hard time saying it, and I am a public speaker, supposedly.
I try not to be irritated by people who, like, there's a whole personality of person now. There's a kind of person who their entire personality is not liking things that other people like.
Do. Yeah.
And that's their personality now. Somebody posted a couple days ago that it was a sitcom. I won't say because it'll give away because some people listen to the show. But they were like, this sitcom that everybody likes, I've never liked it. And you're not going to be able to talk me into it. And I was just like, okay, so liking that show is not a replacement for personality. I get that. If you're just a Seinfeld fan and all you do is quote Seinfeld, that's not a replacement for personality.
Right.
And we know that some people, that is their personality. But just hating that show is also not a personality.
Right.
So just like, what are we doing? Just let people enjoy things. Can we do that?
Can we?
And I think I'm being a little defensive because maybe that's for some people, that's our show. They think like they defend talk about that to people and they're like, well, I never got into it. And they think that that's like, get over yourself. Some people like it.
I don't think we have a lot of haters really. You know how they vote if they hate? They just don't listen. But we don't want you to be that listener.
Your negativity is just making us stronger, you guys.
No, it's not, guys.
You can't bring us down.
Your negativity.
Don't even try.
Is humbling me and it hurts.
Oh, okay. Please try to be positive, you guys.
No, it's fine. It's
fine. Okay. Let people like things.
Yeah.
Hey, if it's stupid, the thing like my wife loves reality TV. I don't understand it, but it gives her happiness.
Yeah,
it's a way to unplug from her day.
Sometimes
her day is full of heavy things, and then she goes and plugs in. And she watches these vapid idiot people, and she goes, and it's refreshing. And I don't understand it, but for me to go like, why do you like that? That's so dumb.
I can tell you, the more you talk, though, it sounds like that's kind of what you're saying.
Let people enjoy it.
Look, it's the dumbest thing ever. Like, I can't imagine.
Sometimes I get drawn into it, too, though. I'm trying to watch as, like, an offended observer.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, isn't Richard married to Claire? And she goes, she knows she's got me.
She got you.
Not anymore. Yeah. You know? They broke up.
Yeah.
Because of the whatever. And you're like, oh, no.
Well.
You got me. I care about Richard and Claire.
Yeah. And listener, if you care about us, John, I'm trying to land this plane.
It's okay, John. I'm sorry.
Hey, I do want to say something.
Yes.
We do want to wish everybody when this comes out, I don't know if it's the observed day, but we want to say happy Juneteenth.
That's right.
Yeah. I know that's Sunday technically, but.
And Father's Day, right?
And Father's Day is also Sunday. Happy Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth. And if you want to read more history about things like Juneteenth, we just won on our book two awards. We just won silver for the Nautilus.
Just a stack of awards that you're winning.
Two. Yeah, the stack is small, but
John,
the
so
Nautilus Book Awards won silver in religion, Western perspective, something like that. And then I can't remember that. It was a long title for the category. And then we won gold. We were the winner for International Book Awards for Social Change. So check out Not So Black and White. Some of you guys are still reaching out asking. I'm still keeping the book giveaway open. And all of you who have received a copy, man, don't forget to go leave that review, that honest review on Amazon. And you can still email me at john@johndriver.com. We're going to continue that, you know, for as long as we can here.
That's great.
Yeah, it's exciting. So, but hey, happy Juneteenth, man. What an exciting, I'm using it in my sermon Sunday. It's just such an amazing moment to think. I mean, it was January 1st, 1863 was the Emancipation Proclamation.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. And it was June 19th, 1865 when the slaves in the Confederate state of Texas got the message.
Wow.
How long they had been free and did not know it because they hadn't heard the message. I mean, dude, it's sad. I mean, but how excited they were. And so I love that. That's a national holiday now, and the celebration we can join in to, you know, celebrate the ending of something horrible in our country. And so, yeah, it's exciting. You should check out Johnny's socials as well, guys. You can go to his Linktree, probably is your best spot. Linktree Johnny W Comedy.
Right? Yeah. No, it's just Johnny W. Linktree.
It's just Johnny W.
Johnny W. J-O-N-N-I-E.
Yeah.
W. All my stuff's linked there. Yeah, continue to do that. It's great. New content coming out every day. It seems like I've got new stuff dropping all the time.
Yeah.
My team, John. I got a team now. It's a it's a crack team working on things. Yeah. It's an A team.
Yeah.
There's a dude with a mohawk that drives my van now. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I enjoy that guy.
That's great.
He's fun. He pities the fool.
Your Toyota van.
He does. It's not a big GMC van. It's a little Toyota van. Not as cool.
Well, we're excited about all the content coming out, Johnny, so keep it coming, bro.
You got it.
And make sure you go follow him on Instagram. He's a good follow. Lots of good stuff there. Guys, we appreciate all the time you give to us every week, and we'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together, we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.